This year is brought to you by TorahWeb.org.
Good morning, welcome to Beth Aaron, Rishus, Rav Shechter Shlita, Rav Oblaski Shlita. I'd like to thank TorahWeb for selecting our shul to host this morning's shirim, and for giving Beth Aaron the privilege of serving as a home for Torah and Chizuk for the broader community, particularly at this very important time as we approach the Yom Noraim. Something very special and appropriate about gathering an Elul for Torah, not just to inform us, but also to shape us, to deepen our thinking and to refine our Avodas Hashem, and strengthen our responsibility to one another. Our first shiur this morning will be given by Rav Yaakov Orblaski, one of the esteemed Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshiva University. And for decades, Rav Orblaski has been known throughout the Yeshiva community as a unique masmid, an extraordinary Talmud Chacham, an exceptional Bal Midos and Bal Chesed. I, together with a generation of Talmidim, have had the privilege of turning to Rav Orblaski for Torah guidance and advice, and anyone who's ever brought a question to him knows the experience. He'll put aside whatever he's doing, drop whatever he's learning and immerse himself completely in the sugya that you're asking him about and enter the question and the thought process together with you. And by the end, one invariably has the sense that he has become even more invested in finding the answer than the person who originally asked the question. And that captures something essential about Rav Orblaski. His uncompromising search for emes is inseparable from his sensitivity to people. The question matters because Torah matters, but the person asking the question matters just as much. It's a privilege to welcome you, Rav Orblaski, to Beth Aaron.
Birshus, Rav Rabbi Rav Shechter, Birshus, my parents, Avi Murray, Imi Marasi. Thank you very much, Rabbi Schnall, for that humbling introduction. It's my privilege to speak in this community, especially to speak in front of people who are mavakshim, the time of Elul, the time before Yom Noraim, and especially in Tinek. Rishal didn't mention, maybe many people here know, I grew up in Tinek, I go back to my parents still live here, and I feel a special connection. Yes, I grew up the other side of town, but we used to call this the other side of town, but I have a special connection to this community, special chavivus, and it's my privilege to be able to share Divrei Torah in this special kehila. I'll begin with two disclaimers. One is the topic of the shir relates to bitachon and bitachon in times of uncertainty, and that's a very large topic with very many opinions, and I certainly make no claim to presenting all the opinions, to thoroughly presenting the whole range of the topic, just some thoughts and some insights based on some of the svarim, and an approach to, or approaches to be tough in times like ours. But there are other approaches, and I'm just going to present what I have here. The second disclaimer, you know, in the book All for the Boss, Mrs. Ruchama Shane quotes a story that her husband, but he learned in the Mir Yeshiva in Europe, said that one time Ruchama was giving a shmuz, the Mashkiach of Ruchama Lavavitz, and in the middle of the shmuz he stopped, and he said, Ruchama, you're not holding there. That he was giving a shmuz about something that he felt, the great Mashkiach on his level, that he felt he wasn't quite up to what he was preaching. Now, if I held myself to that standard, I would never speak. So I'm speaking not as a lecturer to everyone else, because I've achieved a certain madriga, I'm speaking to myself. But perhaps everyone else can listen and everyone else can gain from the perusal of the topic that we're going to discuss. As the topic of this lecture implies, we're living in uncertain times, both for Klal Yisrael specifically and for the world generally. You know, we're living in a world and a country in which anti-Semitism, even in aggressive and violent forms, seems to have abruptly increased, becoming more mainstream and acceptable, and the pace of this increase seems to be accelerating, perhaps accelerating rapidly. It's especially troubling. This phenomenon is predominantly found amongst the younger and, at least nominally, more educated cohort of Americans, which doesn't bode well for the next generation, the next leaders, the next politicians, the next business leaders, corporate leaders. I think only a few years ago, most people would have said that America is a good place for the Jews, especially religious Jews. It's a place where Jews are thriving. Orthodoxy is thriving. And we can look forward to America serving as a comfortable, safe home for Jews in the foreseeable future. Hopefully, at B'ez Kol Tzedek, Meir B'Yameinu, well, that Mashiach will come. Now, for many, it's already less comfortable, both personally and professionally. And we have to be concerned. How much longer we'll be able to live a full life as Jews in America? How much longer will we be safe to live in Jews, as Jews in America? Regarding the broader world, I think the AI revolution and the speed of its progress has appended many assumptions about what the future holds. In many ways, what the world will look like in even the near future. It's unclear what will happen to people's employment, how people make a living. The future world is very unpredictable. And the assumptions we worked with for many generations have been suddenly upended. And it leads to a state of uncertainty, which leads to feelings of insecurity. Feelings of insecurity lead to anxiety. In fact, I noticed that I saw at least one study, and certainly there's anecdotal evidence, that there's this very significant increase of anxiety among the Jewish community since Simchas Torah 3 years ago. The war itself, the anti-Semitism has exploded here, the transformation of the world. We live in a state where there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of nervousness, a lot of questions. What's going to be? So what does the Torah have to say about anxiety and nervousness in these circumstances? This morning at the end of Shacharis, most people said a Kapitel Tehillim. We would say it all of El. The David Hashem, Ori V'Yishi. What do we say in this Kapitel Tehillim? Let's think about what we say. We sort of sometimes run through at the end of davening, taking off our tefillin, if the tefillin's still on. L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi Mimi Ira. David HaMelech says, Hashem is my light. Who am I going to be afraid of? Mekrov Alayim Riyim Mimi Evchad. No one to fear. Enemies attack me. I'm not afraid of anybody. David HaMelech, that's the theme of the Psukim as well. The next few Psukim. David HaMelech is stating that he's not afraid. Not afraid. And this is a theme that David HaMelech repeats many times in Sefer Tehillim. Gam Kielich Begates Al Maves, Loi Raraki Atoyim Adi. I'm walking in the valley of death. I'm not going to fear that bad will happen. I'm not going to fear evil people. Hashem, you're with me. Shlomo HaMelech Mishlei. Al Tira Mipachat Pesom Mishoaz Hashem Kisavo. Don't be afraid of a sudden fright and from the evil or destruction of Rishayim will come. So Mishlei and Tehillim are filled with psukim in which David HaMelech describes and acknowledges and exhorts that we shouldn't be afraid. Why shouldn't we be afraid? There's reason to be afraid. There's danger, there's evil people. Why shouldn't we be afraid? What's the antidote to this fear of the unknown, the fear of the danger? So if we look in the psukim, the answer in a word is what we call bitachon. Maral, in the Sim Bitachon, says, a mefached hepech aboteach. That's the language he uses. That one who is mefached, one who expresses fear, is the opposite of one who expresses bitachon. Bitachon is the antithesis of pachat. And the Maral is bringing off from psukim. That language appears in psukim in various places. Cherdas odam yitem okeshu ateach v'ashem yisugav. The pasuk in Mishlei, that if someone is chored, someone is fearful, he trembles out of fear, yitem okesh, that can cause him to be ensnared. Uboteach v'Hashem, but some the opposite of a cheretas, the opposite of someone's chored. Someone's boteach yisugav. So he will be encouraged if he has bitachon. He won't. He's not chored, he's boteach. Pasuk in Tehillim, mishmu ara lo yira nachon libo batuach Hashem. Someone, the Gemara says in Brachos, this pasuk can be read in two ways, but mishmu ara lo yira, someone will not be afraid of a shmura, of bad tidings, because why will not be afraid? Nachon libo batuach b'Hashem. You'll be boteach b'Hashem, therefore will not be afraid. In the David Hashem Ori, when David says mimira, so what does he conclude? Bezos ani boteach. I'm boteach with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, that's why I'm not afraid. So, what is bitachon then? Bitachon is the antithesis, or is the antidote, to fear, to yira. See, we often translate bitachon as trust. Yes, if you look, ask them what's the treasure of bitachon, say, someone is maftiach me, I'm muftach, I trust him. But it's more than that, at least when it comes to talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's more than just trust. The opposite of fear is the state of being afraid, the state of being feeling security, feeling secure. And what bitachon means in this context is total reliance, not just trusting, but reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nibotech means I am reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of me. Tchovus Avavos in Shaar Bitachon says, Mehus HaBitachon. Not just an effect of bitachon, not just a benefit of bitachon, but the nature of bitachon. What is bitachon? Menuchas nefesh abatech. It's the serenity and the tranquility of someone who has bitachon. So that serenity and tranquility is what bitachon is. It's a feeling, a sense of being secure. Totally reliant, on the one whom he trusts. After all, if a child is being taken care of by his loving father, so he doesn't, even if maybe dawns upon him there's some dangers, he knows for sure his father's going to take care of him. So it's not a question of, well, he's afraid, but he'll be helped out. It's that he's so secure that he doesn't even worry very much about what's going to happen. That's the truest definition of bitachon. David HaMelech is saying, "Bezos nivoteach, mi ira, I'm not going to be afraid," is because there's nothing to be afraid of. I'm totally reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there we have in these psukim that bitachon, it says the antidote, the antithesis of fear, to fear. So let's take a step, let's go a step further. So now we know that bitachon is a good idea. We'll get to how we, what the content of bitachon is. Perhaps we'll discuss a little more. Is there an obligation to have bitachon? Or let's say someone enjoys being anxious. There are people like that. That they enjoy the anxiety. They don't want to be secure. They want to be fearful for whatever reason. Is it just an Eitz HaTovah? You know, anxiety can be destructive. So it's just an Eitz HaTovah, a good idea that we should be, that we should have bitachon Hashem. So again, the psukim indicate that bitachon is expected. It's an obligation of sort. The psukim tell him, "Betach b'Hashem ba'asei tov shchon eretz re'emun." It's an imperative. "Bivoteach b'Hashem," David HaMelech says. "Bitzchuvo b'chol eis." Constantly rely on Hashem. Ben Yonan Shari Tshuva says he thinks it's a din d'oraisa. The psukim describe in Parsha Shoftim, not too many weeks ago, that when Klai Yisrael go out to war, the pasuk says, "Al tira b'pneim, al tiru v'altach pezu." Different psukim, a few places. The psukim say that when Klai Yisrael go out to war, there is a law in the Torah. There's a prohibition to be afraid of the enemy. Says Rabbi Yonah and Shari Tshuva that this is not simply an admonition to the Jewish people when we go out to war. This is a lav, is an iser, is an expectation, challenging expectation, of people whenever we have what he calls a tsara krova, when even an individual is faced with danger, something similar perhaps to going out to war. Im yira adam ki tsara krova tia yeshua sashem krova b'vav yiftachla. That if a person sees that even a person is experiencing a situation where the tzara is karov, where the tzara is, there's real potential for danger, he should be confident in the Yeshua Hashem. He should be secure in Hashem's power to save him. Discuss that perhaps a little more, But Rabbi Yonah is, and he discussed that in Sharik Shlishi of Sharik Tshuva, where he's listing off different Yisurim and mitzvos that people aren't always careful, people have to know about. And one thing says that this is an Isser, this is a lav. Al Tira, don't be afraid of dangerous situations. Meshech Chachma has a different suggestion. Meshech Chachma in Parashas Ekev says he thinks that's true, that Lotiru, Al Tira, and Lotira is an admonition, but that's an admonition for the Tzibur. That the Tzibur as a whole should be confident that Hashem will help. But he says there's a mitzvah bitachon for the yachid from a different pasuk. The pasuk is in Parashat Ekev. There's two pasukim similar pasukim. Uvo sidbak. And Hashem lakach tira. Uvo sidbak. It's a difficult pasuk to translate. Chazal already pointed out it's a difficult pasuk to translate. You should be fearful of Hashem. You should have your Hashemayim, and you should cling to Him. What does it mean? The Chazal already asked. What does it mean to cling to Hashem? You can't cling to Hashem. Hashem has no. There's nothing physical about Hashem. There's nothing to cling to. Nothing even, we don't fully grasp Hashem. How can we cling to Him? So Chazal of Joshua, that means Yidabek B'Talmid Chachamim. That means to cling to Talmid Chachamim, because the way we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through Torah, and the personification of Torah is in the Talmid, is through the Talmid Chachamim. So if we connect Talmid Chachamim, that's the way we can cling to Hashem. Meshech Chachma says that he thinks that's a drash from a different pasuk, but he quotes the Ramban. The Ramban says he thinks Pshuto Shalom Mekor Uvo Sidbak. It refers to a very high, he calls a Madrega of Chasidim or Tzadikim, that their mind is constantly dovek, connected, clinging to Hashem. They live a life in which they're always thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it says Mesh Chachma, but if it's describing a Madrega of Tzadikim, so it's written as a Tzivoy. It's written Uvo Sidbak. It's written as, Hashem doesn't give mitzvot just for Tzadikim. So says the Meshech Chachma, he thinks the pshat is similar to Ramban, but a little different, that this is the mitzvah bitachon. Ubo sidbak means to cling to Hashem, means to be aware at whatever, and he says that whatever madrega person is, to have an awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, that you can be, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to help us, and that we have a security relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatever we do. That's the mitzvah of Ubo sidbak. The mitzvah to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean to rely on Him, to hang on to Him, to hang on to His coattail, so to speak. The same way you would hang on, the same way to use the mashal again, the child hang on to his parents, hang on to the mother's skirt. So hang on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rely on Him, have bitachon. That's the Meshech Chachma says, the mitzvah say of Ovo Sidbak. He'll ask me, for those who know the pasuk, I know from the Gemara, the pasuk says, Ashrei Adam, Mefachei Tamid. The pasuk says that it's a person should be constantly nervous. A person should be Mefachei Tamid. A person should be always afraid. A person should be careful. A person should be anxious. Be nervous. And the Torah says, and the Navi, the pasuk says Ashrei Adam. So the truth is, the Gemara Brachos, and Daf Samach, says that pasuk quotes a story where one of the Amorayim seemed to be, with the Talmid of the Amorayim, seemed to be very nervous. And the Amora said to him, Chato'at, why are you so nervous? You must be a chote. He says, but it says, Asher Adam Fachei Tamid. Seemed like that was a proper approach. He says, no, Ha'u B'Divrei Torah K'siv. That means a person should be nervous about his own learning. About his own, that person should have to chazer his learning. Person has to review. Person shouldn't be secure in his own accomplishments. That mefachei tamid. But in terms of what's going to happen to him, should be mefachei tamid. In terms of what happens to someone, you should be serenity. There should be tranquility. There shouldn't be a sense of fear and nervousness that something may happen. So what does it seem? It seems that we have an obligation to rely totally on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we shouldn't have any anxiety. So what does that mean? What are we relying on? We know the tragedies occur. We know people suffer. We know Hashem makes it happen. He makes it happen, allows it to happen. So what are we relying on? We're relying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us, but Hashem protects us a lot, but it's not a guarantee. It doesn't seem to be a guarantee. There are people suffering. There are people where situations are dangerous, and the danger actually occurs. So what is the nature of this bitachon? What are we relying on? How can we honestly say we're confident Hashem will help us when He doesn't always? There is a school of thought that if a person really, truly is boteach, Hashem will help them, then Hashem will help them. The implication of that is that whenever it's not, whenever it doesn't happen, it's because the person didn't have sufficient bitach. It's a hard approach to understand, I think, but I'll just quote the words the Chazanish says about this. Again, there are forms of that school of thought, but the Chazanish, in the first line of his essay, of the second parak of essays that was put together in a sefer called Amuna Bitachon. So the Chazanish calls such an approach an error. He says, "Tos no shenes nis azrucha b'leiv rabin b'musag bitachon." There's a common mistake that people have imbibed in understanding of the idea of bitachon. If people think that they want a certain outcome to happen, and they're afraid the outcome doesn't happen, because a different outcome would be deleterious. And they say, if I really, really believe Hashem will help me and make this outcome happen, it will happen. Says the Chazanish, how do you know? Kol shel nisbar b'nevuah goro la'asid ein asid mukhra. Unless a Navi tells you something good will happen, that's what the point of a Navi. If a Navi tells you that something will happen and it's good, you know it will happen. If a Navi hasn't told you, you don't know what's going to happen. Ein asid mukhra. There's no guarantee what's going to happen. Who knows what Hashem has in mind? Hashem has a sense of mishpat. Hashem, there's a concept of schar v'onesh. We don't know what Hashem wants to do. So then what's bitachon? We're relying on Hashem, but we just don't know what's going to happen. Says the Chaznish, Inyan ha-bitachon hu ha-emun she'en mikre ba'olam v'chol nasa tachas Hashem ha-shekol ba'achraz mito yisparach. The topic of bitachon, the idea of bitachon, is the belief, the deep-seated internalized belief that what happens is because Hashem wants it to happen. It doesn't happen by accident, it happens because Hashem wants it to happen. Now, so is that reassuring enough? You know, I'm afraid, someone's afraid that something will happen. So don't worry, whatever happens, Hashem wants it to happen. Okay, maybe Hashem wants it to happen. So why should that make me less fearful? I'm afraid of the concept, I'm afraid of the possible outcome, and there's no guarantee it won't happen. Let's discuss how this plays out, perhaps on two levels. First, for the Yachid, and then, relevant to the approach of what we started, to the Tzibur. The base of Bitachon, the Chovos Avos and Shar Bitachon, talks about the foundation of Bitachon, it talks about the concepts, the thoughts that lead one to have Bitachon, generally lead one to have Bitachon Hashem. And he says, we know the following. We know that Hashem knows everything. We know that Hashem is omnipotent. We know that He's omniscient. And we also know that Hashem is a Rachman. We know Hashem has Rachman. And we know that Hashem wants what's good for us. And we know that Hashem brought us into existence. Our entire existence is only a chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every positive thing we have in our lives, including our very life, is because Hashem is granting us, is doing chesed for us, to us, and for us constantly. And Hashem can do whatever He wants. So since Hashem is a Meitiv, and since Hashem is a Rachman, and since Hashem has proven this, and constantly proves this, so if everything happens because Hashem wants it to happen, Hashem is constantly aware of what's going on, so then we can have confidence that whatever happens is best for us. This is step one. So at the very least, it means the following. At the very least, it means that even if what we fear, what we would fear, what we are nervous about, the possibility that we are nervous about would happen, it would happen because Hashem knows it's best for us for it to happen. So that's one level of security. And best in what way? So at the very least, Rabbi Yonah Mishle has a long discussion about bitachon, which I'm going to refer to a number of times. At the very least, it means Olam Haba. I mean, the Olam Hazeh pales in comparison to Olam Haba. If we think enough about Olam Haba, we'll realize, we all know this, that we're just passing through this world, and the real schar is in Olam Haba. So at the very least, if something happens to us that we perceive as bad in Olam Hazeh, and it's because Hashem wants to happen, and it's because Hashem is good to us, it means Hashem thinks it's in our best interest. At the very least, our best interest for our Olam Haba. Maybe we need a kapara. Maybe we need to be improved in some way. It's in our best interest. So that may minimize the fear somewhat. Yes, I'm nervous this will happen, but I realize if it'll happen, it's because Hashem wants to happen, it's because it's good for me. No, that helps a little bit. I still don't want it to happen. I'm still afraid of it happening, but at least in advance, that can mitigate the fear. Rav Dessler points out, of course, from the Alter Kelm, that kind of thought isn't usually, it's hard to have that kind of thought when a person's in the middle of a tzara. When the person's in the middle of a tzara, is suffering and has pain, it's hard for him to think about, this is good for me, it's hard for him to think about, what does Hashem want for me? He's just overwhelmed by his suffering and his pain. But in advance, how does a person have that reaction? A person in advance, before there's ever a tzara, rachamal atzan, understand that if a tzara were to happen, it's because Hashem thinks it's best for me, and Hashem wants something for me, then when the tzara does happen, he can bring out that feeling and that idea which he's already internalized. So this is one part of bitachon. One part of bitachon is realizing that what happens is komad over rachman l'tzav of it, in the sense that at least it means that it, in the long run, is all best for us. And this is true even a step further. We think we know, forget it, leave Olam Haba to the side for a second. We think we know what's best for us in Olam Hazeh. We tend to think, if I get this job, that'll be good for me. If I don't get this job, I don't know what's going to happen. Or if I get into this school, or if this particular event happens, that particular event happens, that needs to happen. Otherwise, who knows what will occur? We don't always know what's best for us in Olam Hazeh either. If we're honest with ourselves, we realize that. Very often, someone thinks, someone does something he thinks is best for him, and it turns out it wasn't. Or something that a person thinks wasn't good for him happens, and it turns out it is. Sometimes we're zochah to see it. Sometimes we don't see Olam Hazeh at all, but sometimes we do. In the story of Yaakov Kamenetsky, Yaakov was a rav in Lithuania, in a small town, I think it's Svetsia or something like that. And in the late 1930s, his family had gotten bigger, and his parnassus was insufficient. So he was trying to get a bigger rabbonus, a bigger shteller, and he tried and tried, and a number of times he thought he had it in the bag, and fell through at the last moment in ways that were very surprising. Eventually, he said, he can't live this way anymore. He went to America. He was originally a shaliach of the Slobodka Yeshiva, because he had been in the Slobodka Kollel, so part of his responsibility was to raise money at some point for the Slobodka Yeshiva. He went to America. He ended up getting a job in America, and his family ended up coming over. When he had to go, his wife, the Rebbe, was despondent. She says, he's going to America, he's leaving the family. Who knows what's going to happen in America? What's going to happen with the family? We'll have to move to America. America is not a place to raise Bnei Torah, to raise from children. Who knows? In retrospect, Yaakov saw, it was obvious to him, obvious to us, almost every other rabbi in Lithuania was murdered by the Nazis. Came out to the man. Kadosh Baruch Hu picked him up, brought him to America, so he could survive and he could help build Torah in America. He didn't see that in 1937. The family didn't see it in 1937, but he did see it later. Had he gotten those jobs, that would not have been the best thing for him. Did he know that? No, he didn't know that. We didn't know, or at least wasn't able to see that. But often enough, what we think is best for us is not best for us. Not only not best for us in terms of, well, because it's the kapara, because it's better for us all above. It's better than that, we don't know what's best for us. So the bitachon in Rachmei Shemayim means that we should have a Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to help us. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu is gomel chesed. And as Rabbi Yonah himself points out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us schar for what we've done. You know, we may not think we're perfect, we're not perfect. And this time of the year, focus on our imperfections and how we can improve. But ultimately, Baruch Hashem, you get up in the morning, how many mitzvahs have you done today already? How many brachos you say? How many amens you answer? How many tefillah, gemilas chasadim? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has reason to be good to us. And we should have some degree of confidence that, instead of assuming the worst, that we're certain that what's happening for us is for the best, and very possibly even Olam Hazeh is for the best. We just don't necessarily see it. Because after all, Hashem Baruch Hu is a Rachman. It goes further. Number of psukim emphasize, seem to say, that the bitachon itself, we alluded to this idea before, but the bitachon itself can affect the outcome. Baruch ha-gever asher yivtach b'Hashem. Baruch Hashem yivtach. Or ha-gever asher yivtach b'Adam. If someone's boteach b'Hashem, he's baruch. Baruch means Hashem showers him a blessing. Ha-boteach b'Hashem, chesed yisro avenu. Someone's boteach b'Hashem is surrounded by chesed. Habotech b'Hashem yisugav, possible before. Someone's Habotech b'Hashem is encouraged. Psukim seem to indicate that bitachon itself brings benefit, brings a greater degree of chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Besides that, again, relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our interest. If we really rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is more of a reason to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will benefit us. Not a guarantee. And the bitachon doesn't mean to, according to this, the bitachon doesn't mean to believe that Hashem will definitely help us. But it's the belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And if we put it, and we're relying on you, Ribbono Shel'olam, if we're relying on you, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more likely to actually help us out in tangible ways. The Chovos HaVavos, in the beginning of Shaar Bitachon, says as follows. He says that if a person relies on Hashem, Hashem is likely to help him. If a person relies on other things, he relies on his own chachmah, he relies on other people, Hashem says, good, you're relying on them, let them help you. I'm staying out of it, so to speak. Hashem doesn't stay out of it. But he runs the world in a way in which he steps back and says, what you rely on is natural causes or your own powers, so see how much that takes you. If you rely on me, I'm going to go the extra mile so as to help you out. The Ramban, in his Perush and Chumash, when it talks about Muhammad, it talks about how the Jews have to not be afraid of time Muhammad. So the pasuk ends with to say, "Ha'ishay reiv racha levav yilech v'yashal v'beisav." That someone who is fearful should go home. Why should go home? Says Ramban, because he's fearful and doesn't have enough bitachon, so he won't be protected. The people who have bitachon will be protected. Does the Ramban mean? Ramban sounds like it means it's almost like a guarantee. Does that mean it means to be a guarantee? So I was speaking to an Adam Gadol about this. I'm not going to quote him just because I don't know if he wants to be quoted, because he was saying this tentatively. And he said he thinks as follows, and this is something similar to the Chovos HaVavos, that there are different approaches in the Rishonim about how to understand Hashgacha Pratis, exactly how it applies. But if a person has bitachon, what happens is as follows. What happens is that I'm not relying that Hashem will, there's anything guarantees, but I'm relying that Hashem is the one who's taking charge. So then there are certain things that there's certain what we perceive as natural forces that can cause us harm. If we don't rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow those forces to cause us harm, or at least we'll be mashkiach in the world in such a way that, like the Chovos HaVavos says, that will. The outcome of which will be the same as the forces causing us harm. When we rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let anything else hurt us. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses that he makes a gzeira on us, that something shall happen, that's he may choose that. But otherwise, we'll be fine. So there's room for optimism. There's room for a certain degree of optimism that through being boteach b'Hashem, Hashem protects us from a lot of other things, from the things we're afraid of. We're afraid of things because we think the natural cause and effect of the reality is such that something may happen to us. Gosh will make sure that's not a reason for anything to happen to us. Yes, it's possible Hashem will be ghost or something will happen. But short of that, Gosh Baruch Hu will protect us. So there's more reason for optimism, less reason to be frightened and to be panicked. Look what's happening. Look what might happen. Gosh Baruch Hu can take care of it if he wants. Gosh Baruch Hu is kol yachol. And if he's not gozer, it won't happen. But that's only if we're properly boteach b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Yonah, that I mentioned before, has a different point, a similar idea, but a different point. He says that the schar, part of the reward of having bitachon, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us more. It's schar. And Rabbi Yonah says something very striking. Rabbi Yonah says that there's a law in the Torah to be afraid. I don't know the parameters exactly. At what point, is there a point in which he says that that you can't always assume Shuasa Krova, that there's Shuasa Krova? But at the end of the day, Rabbi Yonah is saying that if the case where, similar to Muhammad, a case where the Tzara is Krova Umuchenes, he writes, there's a reason to be concerned. B'derech HaTeva. There is a reason to be concerned. It's normal. Then Rabbi Yonah's belief is that a person should trust, perhaps specifically because he's trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in the schar of that trust, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's a good chance, there's nothing stopping HaKadosh Baruch Hu from helping us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to help us, and if we trust him, there's a good chance HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of things. It's not a guarantee, he just may decide not to. But the more bitachon we have, the greater protection we have. And to a point that at least under cases where it's unclear, Rabbeinu says the Torah prohibits us from being too nervous, from being too afraid. There's a problem. The Vayir Yaakov Ole Yitzelo. Yaakov was afraid. Or was Yaakov afraid? We're just telling them we shouldn't be afraid. Yaakov is encountering Yitzelo. And Yaakov was afraid. So the truth is, there is a Rambam in the Shmona Prakam where he says that that was a chisaron in the bitach of Yaakov Avinu. It's a chiddush. The other Rishonim, now many Rishonim don't learn that way, that really Yaakov shouldn't have been afraid either. Okay, but we're not better than Yaakov Avinu. And certainly many Rishonim assume, Ben Yonah and Ben Bachya assume that Yaakov Avinu, he was right to be afraid. So what was he afraid? So the Gemara says, to answer a slightly different question, the Gemara says, the Yaakov Avinu was afraid Shem Yigom Achit. He was afraid that he doesn't deserve it, that maybe the chait will cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be go there, that Esav will do damage to him. Meaning to say, even if we rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even when we rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that nothing hurts us, unless he decrees it. But if there's a chait, maybe he'll decree it, maybe he'll decree an onesh. Yaakov Avinu was afraid. So Rabbi Yonah addresses this. And Rabbi Yonah says, if I understand correctly, that yes, Rabbi Yonah says, first of all, he says that the koach of bitachon is such that bitachon can help protect the person, even if a person doesn't deserve it. It's similar perhaps to tefillah, that when a person davens, that can elevate a person and can give HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him even if he otherwise wouldn't deserve it. Bitachon will help him even if he doesn't otherwise deserve it. Maral says something similar. But what's the story with Yaakov Avinu, says Rabbi Yonah? That it's true. When we encounter a situation of danger, we should rely totally on Hashem. But we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a dayan emes. There's chayr v'onesh. There's din. And who knows what we deserve? Maybe there's a gzeira against us. So our approach has to be, yes, be afraid of the chatoyim, not be afraid of the situation, afraid of the chatoyim, and then come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tefillah and with tshuva. And if we do that, we can end up with a stronger sense of bitachon. First, Vayir Yaakov Od, he's afraid of the chait. Then he's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And after the tefillah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can, since the tefillah itself comes an expression of bitachon, because you understand it's only all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it doesn't depend on what Esav does. Yes, we have to wear our shtadlus, but ultimately it depends on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So we have to appease HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a shameya tefillah, and we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a makabel tshuva. So if we engage, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a rachman, if we engage in Torah and tefillah, in tshuva and tefillah, excuse me, then the fear of chait can, ironically, the fear of the chait can enhance our bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It sounds similar, we're only, Rosh Hashanah is a few days from now, so similar to something we find when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. We know Sefer Chaim, Sefer Meisim, Psuchim L'Faneinu Rosh Hashanah, We don't say how Rosh Hashanah the Gemara says Arachim Seir Chaim Seir Psuchim Lelecha Ve'Einam Yimei Simcha Yaseir. So it's a time to be nervous. But Einam Yimei Simcha Yaseir. There's still Simcha Rosh Hashanah. And if you look in the Medrash, Rosh quotes the Medrash, that the reason why we celebrate Rosh Hashanah, we have a Tzudas Yantim Rosh Hashanah, is because after we daven Rosh Hashanah Betuchim She'asa Neis, we have Betuchim Kadosh Baruch Hu that Kadosh Baruch Hu do a Neis for Rosh Hashanah. If we have Betuchim, so what's the nervousness? The nervousness is because it is scary, because it's a din. But we have a certain degree of confidence because of Rachmei Shemayim that if we do Tfila, if we daven properly, do Tshuva properly, then Kadosh Baruch Hu will do a Neis. We'll go beyond what the din perhaps otherwise would have mandated, and will help us out. And that's why we should view it Tzara. We should view it Tzara as HaKadosh Baruch Hu being in charge of everything. And that should give us confidence that everything is that he does for the best. Whether it be Olam HaZeh or at least Olam HaBa. If we have Bitachon, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more likely to help us out. And that to the extent that we feel unworthy, we should realize it's up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then we experience and we enhance our tshuva and our tefillah. Then we can have greater confidence that Kadosh Baruch Hu will help us out. Now this doesn't mean that we don't do a shtadlus. It doesn't mean that we should assume Kadosh Baruch Hu will help us out and therefore we don't do anything. We don't have to read the signs. We don't have to worry. It doesn't mean that if we see things are not going well, that we shouldn't try to stop them. We shouldn't make efforts. It doesn't mean that we have to blithely ignore warning signs, whether personal or communal. It may mean we have to enhance security. Maybe we have to move. Maybe we have to change up. All that may be true. Because we don't know what Kadosh Baruch Hu has in mind. Sometimes the signs indicate that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Hashgachas going in a certain direction. But it does mean that we don't go approach this. We shouldn't approach this. We have mitzvah Yoteach Hashem, which tells us we shouldn't be approach this with fright. We shouldn't approach it with an overly anxious, with too much anxiety. We shouldn't act in a sense of desperation and panic, but with the confidence that whatever happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading us in the direction He wants to lead. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading us to Rachamim. And who knows? For example, if the golden age of American Jewry is coming to an end, maybe that's good. And we should have the talk on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it in such a way that will have minimal pain. And why not? We can be optimistic about that. We don't know. We don't. We're optimistic that if we properly are b'teach by Kadosh Baruch Hu, that His rachamim, he'll apply His rachamim. And our primary shtadlus, along with the shtadlus, the practical shtadlus, our primary shtadlus has to be tshuva tefillah. Because ultimately, if we're b'teach by Hashem, we realize it doesn't depend on what this politician does, or this anti-Semite says, or what anything else happening in the world. We have to deal with this with the causes, but ultimately it depends if we really boteach, it's going to depend on what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. And the ishtadlus to deal with and to gain rachem yishamayim is tshuva tzilat tzak mavim rizor agzera. And with that, we should be able to approach the uncertainties and the insecurities of the world around us with a sense of cautious nervousness, perhaps, but a sense of optimism and a sense of not being too anxious, because ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running it, and b'teach b'Hashem chesed yovel.